Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to another episode of That's What People Do. You are joined by me, Ryan McGowan, and as always, James Kay. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm well, thank you, Ryan. Thanks for asking me. You never ask me how I'm joking. You always ask me how I am. One day, we're going to do a different intro.
Yeah, one day.
But it's not this day.
No. But yeah, you well?
Yeah, fine. Absolutely no issues here. How are you?
I'm buzzing off my tits, mate.
Explain why.
I, just before we even jumped on this call, got a job offer. Which I have taken. So, yes, I have a new job. I'm really excited. So that's fun.
Everyone, give a round of applause to Ryan.
Yeah, now. Big round of applause. Thank me in the comments. Say well done, Ryan.
Thank you in the comments. I'm not going to thank you for getting a new job.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Ryan.
That's to me. That was to me. Yep. But, yeah, big week or two for firsts or new things, changing, things like that. Obviously, I just got a new job, which is fantastic. But also, you will have seen now, it's all out, it's completely out there. We have launched a Patreon, and Jack the Ripper is out on video for you to watch. You can see us interviewing Terry Wade, the Ripperologist. Yeah, really, really fun, good response from people. It's so good. Like, those that have joined us, thank you so much so far. If you do want to obviously join the Patreon, please do so. It's going to give us the option to create new things, and what we really want to start doing is just more documentary style video pieces. We want to like go to certain locations and interview some people, and by you joining us on Patreon, that would give us the opportunity to do that. So yeah, join us on Patreon, that'd be great.
Yep. Ryan's got a drone that he wants to use, so give him an excuse to use the drone.
I have got a drone, and if we do really well on Patreon, we can get a better drone.
Well, maybe have two drones.
Could have two drones, and we could, I don't know, they can fly at each other, and we can do drone wars. Why not?
Oh, that'd be really cool.
That would be cool. But yes, so thank you very much for supporting us on the Patreon. It's been overwhelming, the support that you guys have shown us, and also as well on TikTok. I don't know if you noticed, we're on TikTok. James is doing absolute bits over on TikTok at the moment. One of the videos has got like over 800,000 views, which is absolutely wild.
Everyone's coming at me in the comments about it, which I find really funny. Like, but it's because it's all about Oppenheimer, and everyone's like, "You haven't seen the film?" No, I haven't seen the film. That's the funny part of it.
No. I'm going to see it on Sunday.
Are you really? I do want to see it in cinema. It does seem like one of those things, but I also just can't really be bothered.
Yeah. No, I'm about to have the Barbenheimer experience. I saw Barbie last night. I'm going to see Oppenheimer on Sunday, so nice. I'm having that full on. I even wore like a fancy shirt to go watch Barbie. I look like Ken.
I actually had a pink top delivered today, so maybe I should go and watch Barbie with my absolutely new pink top.
Yeah. Right, so let's get into it, shall we? This episode is a lot of fun, I think, because we're talking about cannibals. We have had people who have prepared human meat in previous episodes, like Catherine Knight when she butchered her lover. We've had episodes like that. I don't think we've actually had an actual cannibal that's eaten someone. So that's
nothing comes
new
to mind.
No, not that I can think of. So if they have, yeah, great. So are we ready to get in to this, the old long intro? Because I'm enjoying long intros at the moment.
Do it. It's a really famous story, this one. Like, when you... Ryan messaged me and told me sort of like the basic premise with like one or two sentences, and I knew immediately what it was. This is a really, really good story.
Yeah, it is a good story, and it's got a really interesting sort of legal sort of conversation in it as well, which we can get into later. So, without further ado, let's get into it. According to the Collins Dictionary, cannibalism is defined as the act of eating human flesh or the flesh of one's own kind. It's considered the last taboo, something that is the pinnacle of human immorality. Yet human history is littered with tales of cannibalism. For as long as humans have been around, it is thought that we performed acts of cannibalism. Early humans cannibalizing our Neanderthal cousins. Ancient Egypt had a king who was said to be a man-eater. And for us in the UK 2,000 years ago, it was said that many Celts practiced cannibalism before the Romans came to town. When the Spanish came to the islands of the Lesser Antilles, they came across a native people they called the Caribs, which is where we get the word Caribbean from, and these people were said to be institutional cannibals by the Spanish. South America has a very well-known history of human sacrifice and cannibalism, but arguably most famous are the people of Papua New Guinea, who practiced ritual cannibalism for funeral rites and consumed those they defeated in warfare. In fact, the most recent case of ritual cannibalism there was in 2012. So, if cannibalism has been so prevalent in human history, why do we find it so abhorrent? Well, for the most part, there's no need for humans to cannibalise one another. We are an apex predator, capable of hunting our own food. The reasons for cannibalising other humans are several: religious, lack of education, and just downright disrespect. So, let's go with the religious reason. It was thought that by consuming the flesh of someone, they would then become one with you, and in that way, they got to live on forever. Which, okay, kind of makes sense until you sort of poop them out. Now, in the lack of education department, there are many who thought that you gained the strength of the person you consumed. In fact, you'll still find many a meat market in Africa that sells human remains, since they say it possesses magical benefits for doing so. And in Europe during the Middle Ages, many a peasant would fight one another to get to the blood-soaked soil after someone had been executed, just to shove that soil in their mouth since they thought it would cure disease. Now, for the disrespect, New Zealand is famous for its haka, the traditional Maori dance once used to try and intimidate one's enemy before war. Now, today it is mostly seen as a spectacle before a rugby game, but if you look closely, you'll see a reference to cannibalism. Throughout the display and at the end, you'll see the participants sticking out their tongues to those opposite. And this was once used to symbolise that after we have defeated and killed you, we will eat you. And it was seen as the ultimate way to disrespect your enemy. I didn't know that, and I find that fascinating.
I didn't know that either. I thought it was just intimidation tactics. But I guess it makes sense, because, like, especially if you're in war, chances are both sides have sort of religious ceremonial burials that they'd like to do when people die. But if you eat someone, you then remove that ability to sort of bury them and give them that send-off.
Yeah, and like the ultimate disrespect of, I will eat you, but not only that, I will then turn you into human shit. I will turn you into shit.
Yeah, and then shit you out.
I will shit you out. Now, in more modern times, humans resort to cannibalism in times of desperation. There are literally hundreds of records of humans resorting to cannibalising during famines or when there is no food, such as the ill-fated Donner Party in 1846-47, the crew of the shipwrecked whaler the Essex in 1819, and more recently in 1972 when a Uruguayan plane crashed carrying members of a local rugby team. All of these incidents resulted in acts of cannibalism being carried out.
That's a good film as well. Is it called Alive? That's a really good film.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Although I started watching Cannibal Holocaust in sort of like...
Apparently that film is deeply, deeply fucked.
It is. But it's very old now, right? So it doesn't quite hold up. But it was thought at the time that the director had actually killed its own actors in the film.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
There is none of that. There is a lot of there is a lot of abuse in the film in terms of like the director towards their actors, which is not very nice. But right. There's more than anything, there's actual animal abuse in it. So all the animals that are killed in the film are actually killed in the film on camera.
No, that's wrong.
It's not very nice.
We'll get onto this in a little bit, like my views on meat eating, but we'll get there when we get there.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Now, considering that it's seen as the ultimate taboo, surprisingly, there aren't many nation states where cannibalism is illegal. In fact, there is no law against cannibalism in the UK. Now,
I didn't know that. Does that then mean I can then just go and fucking munch on someone and get away with it?
Well, this is the thing. You may wonder why cannibalism is not illegal in the UK, but the answer is for reasons such as the examples I've given you. In times of desperation like famine or severe survival situations, people cannot be prosecuted for simply surviving. It's a base human instinct to live, and most people in these situations will consume the dead, which, in a legal sense, is absolutely fine. You need it to survive, it's a source of protein and meat, do what you need to do. That's fine. And there's loads of stories of, like, especially like when England was this like naval superpower and we were traveling all over the world discovering things, and loads of people getting mutinied and shipwrecked, people would then eat their dead shipmates and then come back and tell the tale. And it's like, yeah, we, you know, you survived, you got back, you told the tale, fair enough.
Yeah, I suppose if they're dead, then what else are you gonna do? Just let them rot.
Exactly. Well, that
use of it.
It's when they actively kill another human for their meat where it gets legally tricky, and that has caught people out in the past before. Where you're like,
that's murder, isn't it?
Like, that's now, you've now murdered that person for something. That's not good.
No.
Now, in the UK, for example, there is no law against cannibalism, but there are laws against procuring meat that is not safe for human consumption, and there are laws against desecrating a corpse, which is how most cases are brought to court if that is the case. So they've got a way of getting around it. You can't bring in human meat because it's not for human consumption, so you cannot have that. That's how you get done. However, our story... Go on.
Okay, yeah, fair. No, carry on. You answered the question with the desecrating the corpse bit.
Ah. However, our story today takes place in Germany, where, again, there is no law against cannibalism, but there are ways around it. So, without further ado, let's talk about Armin Mivis, the Rottenburg cannibal. Armin was born December 1st, 1961 in Essen, West Germany. He's the third and youngest son of Valtrud Mivis, and first son to the father, who was Valtrud's second husband. By the age of three, the family had moved into a large holiday home in Wusterfeld, a quiet suburb of Rottenburg, about 3 hours' drive from Dortmund in West Germany. Here, the family hoped to have somewhat an idyllic country life, but it didn't last very long. His two half-brothers were a lot older than him and left home soon after moving into the 36-room home. That's how big this country home is. 36 rooms. It's basically a mansion.
That's a big-ass room. Room? House.
Yeah. Now, this left Armin to grow up kind of alone and to be the main focus of his mother's attention, who was problematic, to say the least. As is typical with most of our darker stories, Armin's parents are not the best. While there doesn't seem to be any sign of child abuse, Armin's father left when he was around nine, and his mother had a deep hatred of men, which is somewhat taken out on Armin. She gives him the nickname Minchin, which is a German girl's name, because she just hates men, and she refuses to just call him Armin. Like, can you imagine your mum calling you Jasmine just because she doesn't like that you're a boy?
I wouldn't like that, Ryan.
No, I wouldn't like it if I was called Rihanna.
Yeah, that would upset me. Respect who I am. Just quickly before you go on, he was born in Essen, which I find really fascinating that this is going to be about cannibalism and eating. Essen in German is the word for eating.
So it is.
So there's a nice little link for you there, people.
It's almost like it was destined to happen.
Yeah.
Now, his mum almost refused to do anything at all when the dad left. She just made Armin do all the housework, she made him do all the shopping, and he basically became her carer 24/7. She was an older lady, but even still. Armin had one friend in the area growing up. They'd wander the forest together, playing games, playing cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians. Armin even had a white pony that they would hitch a cart to and drive the pony around the local area. But there was a hole in Armin's heart that could not be filled, and that hole was the absence of his father. When Armin's father left, he was a broken little boy and never quite recovered from it. He got into books to take himself away from the world and became particularly fascinated with the book Robinson Crusoe, which is a book I've never read, but I've heard a lot about.
I've never read the book, but I've seen the pantomime.
There's a pantomime?
I've seen a pantomime of Robinson Crusoe, so yes.
Why? Well, it's not a pantomime, because it's a story about a man who is abandoned on an island for many years and has to fight off and evade cannibals who live there.
Yeah, I think it was a person who was abandoned on an island. It was definitely Robinson Crusoe. I've got memories of it. But then I suppose like other stories like Cinderella and that, all of those stories started off really fucked up as well and just changed throughout the years.
Good point. Now, alongside spending a lot of time at the local butchers watching the meat be carved, Armin begins to develop a very bizarre thinking. He starts to think that if he was to eat someone, that maybe they would be forever a part of him and then he'd never be abandoned again. Which is just like the kind of thing a 10-year-old would think.
This man's got abandonment issues. This is like, I imagine what goes through my fucking dog's head every time we leave the house. And he's just like, we're never coming back. If I eat them, they can never leave again.
That's so true. Like, even taking the bin bags out and the dog's like, where the fuck have you been?
Yeah, they don't like it. But this man needs friends.
Yeah, he does. By the age of 19, Armin was looking to get away from his quiet life and overbearing mother. He joined the West German Army as part of the 52nd Armoured Infantry Battalion. Now, you might be thinking that being in the army might influence or strengthen these desires he has, but it actually had the opposite effect. He finally felt a part of something bigger than himself. He enjoyed being in the military. In fact, he thrived under the disciplined lifestyle, having lived under his mother's thumb for so long. Armin would serve in the army for 12 years in total. He intended for it to be his career, but personal feelings troubled him. Armin questioned his sexuality quite often. He's never seen with a girl on his arm. When he hangs out with his childhood friend and their girlfriends, he's often asking, am I gay? You know how like Andy in The Office thinks that he might be gay and is looking for someone else to provide the answer? You know, and like,
yeah,
he spreads...
he's not 100% sure himself.
Yeah, but like he hears the rumours like Andy's gay. He's like, am I gay?
Am I gay? Just because he likes drinking tea.
And then at the end of the episode, isn't it? Like Michael's like, oh, one of these rumours is not true. And he's like, right, am I gay? He's like, no, you're not gay. Thank God. Oh. Now, many do think that Armin is gay. In fact, his childhood friend did an interview years later and was like, he used to come up to me and ask, oh, do you think I'm gay? And he'd be like, well, listen, I don't know. What are you into? Like, it's not for me to say who you are or whatnot. But he always thought he was.
I feel like he just needed someone to like confirm it for him.
Yeah, maybe. And in fact, we still don't know to this day if he was or not. Now, he did have a very brief friendship with a woman. We don't know how far it went, but it didn't last very long. But whatever it was, Armin was dealing with a lot in his head. He turned to alcohol, and one Christmas, he's drink driving and crashes his Mercedes, leading him to lose his license. But that doesn't teach him anything, because when he gets his license back, he does the exact same thing again, and he crashes another car. In fact, his drinking is such a problem that it affects his military career, and in 1993, age 32, he leaves the military and moves back home to care for his sickly mother.
Now, full cycle.
Yeah, that's it. He goes back to where it all began. Armin retrained and became a computer technician for a company that looked after the computers for large banks. He was quite the whiz when it came to computers, and in 1993, something happened that reignited his cannibalistic desires. The World Wide Web launched in April of 1993, which meant for the first time the general public had access to get online and surf the web. I am concerned about that. Well, it scares me, because that means the World Wide Web is now 30 years old.
I'm 27 years of age. I've never known a time where the internet didn't exist. However, I did know a time where I believe that we didn't have it. I think it was really shit. Like, we had one computer for the family that was downstairs, and you had to like book it out with your parents to do some like, I don't know, weird thing. And I remember like even when the internet got better in like 2007, 2008, maybe even a little bit before, we had it every time the home phone rang, the fucking internet would just drop out.
Yeah, dial up. Yeah. I know.
That was the worst.
I remember when ICT started to become a topic that we had at school. And yeah. I remember they would give us like tasks and things that we had to do online. So to go onto a website and then do that as your homework. And I remember there was a stage where the teacher would say, right, does anybody not have internet at home? Because then they were exempt from doing the homework. That's how new the internet was for even us.
It's wild that like kids nowadays wouldn't understand the not having internet. Like I'm gonna sound like so old, and like we're still young relatively, but like I spent my summer holidays like not playing Xbox, not playing games. Like I was out and about every day, and that was our entertainment.
Yeah,
and kids need that again. Like they're gonna get square eyes, you know.
You had to like knock on your friend's door
to see if they were available.
Yeah,
and you knew they were because what else are they doing?
Yeah, and you have to ask their mum, like, oh, is Billy going to come out?
They were the good old days, man. Yeah. Nowadays, it's just everything's computerized, and God, I sound old.
Yeah, imagine now if kids did it. They'd knock on the door, they'd answer the door, and they'd just dab, and then be like...
I also wouldn't live a day now without the internet, though. I think I'd die.
Well, this is funny, actually. So the internet was a really wild place back then. There really wasn't much regulation. There were hundreds of thousands of websites that looked like an absolute bag of shit and took a million years to upload. But a fun fact is in 1995, a study was done. 25 million American and Canadian web users were spending upwards of 5 hours a week online.
Woo! 5 hours a fucking week. Right, my job, I have to be on the internet. So that's 8 hours a day, minimum. And then I'm on, I would say 75% of my day is on the internet. Do you have it on like, do you have an iPhone? Yeah, you're holding it up now. It's wild. I hate it. It's every Friday, it will pop up on your phone and tell you how much you've looked at your phone for the previous week. It's like, you're down 20% this week for 8 hours a day.
I'm down 7% from last week. My daily average is 7 hours and 24 minutes.
But like... That's to me, that sounds fine. Other people are going to be like, oh, that's really bad. It's not, because everyone does it. Mine's 7 hours 48 minutes, which is down 20% from the previous week.
So, yeah, we're on the internet quite a lot more than the Americans and Canadians were in 1995.
All the time. Even, like, I can't think, apart from when I'm asleep, and even then, I can't fall asleep without sound. And when it's cold, which we're having a really shit summer at the minute, so it is quite cold, I have to have like Netflix on, so that's the internet. I've always got the internet, always.
Yeah. For instance, so I have a tiny little Sky Q box, but that's attached to the internet, right? I've got my PlayStation 5 and my TV, and I don't have my TV hooked up to any aerials, right? So I have no terrestrial channels, right? And we had a small power cut last week, and I'm sat in my room. And I'm just like watching stuff on the TV. And then the power cut went out. And then I was like, now I have nothing to watch. I can't do anything.
I remember at uni once we had a power cut. And like, I was just sat there and I was like, fuck. I have no idea what to do with my time.
Yeah.
Like the internet's gone. Like I think my phone was pretty much dead and I couldn't charge it because there was no power.
Mm.
And I was just sat there in silence like, what do I do? How have people lived for thousands of years like this?
Yeah. Now, one thing that Armin discovered on the internet were forums, places where people could chat online anonymously and discuss anything. And what he discovered was a forum called the Cannibal Cafe. Have you ever heard of that?
I have, yeah. Yeah, purely from this story, to be fair.
It's quite famous. Now, there he saw like-minded people who had cannibalistic fetishes and were openly discussing it on the forum. Could we just take a second, right? Can you just imagine before you got onto the internet and you think you're the only person who is like this? You know, like Daffod Thomas on fucking Little Britain, where he's the only gay in the village. You're the only cannibal in Wusterfeld. And then you go online and all of a sudden, bam, you've got like loads of people all being like, oh yeah, I like it too. Like,
yeah,
that's wild.
I mean, that's what they say, isn't it? There's no such thing as a unique experience. Anything you think is unique to you, you can go online and find it. Like every time I have, this is kind of related, but every time I have like a small problem, which I feel like only relates to me about maybe something technical or something, I'm like, no one else is ever going to have had this problem. Go on Reddit. Someone there has asked the question before you have.
Do you know what as well? Like I'm such a big proponent of if something goes wrong, Google it.
Yeah.
Like just Google it. And anytime someone like... my partner does this quite a bit. Like Jenna will have an issue and she doesn't know how to figure it out. And I'm like, just Google it. And she's like... Well, no, I can't figure it out. I'm like, you just Google it. And then like, I'll find it within 5 minutes. Yeah, and I'll have an explanation. And it will be like, 3 years ago, this happened to one person and the whole forum just figured it out.
Yeah, or there'll be a YouTube video of some like random guy in his garage with like a whiteboard telling you how to do something.
There's always a YouTube video of some like.
Nowadays, like, I've really got into just asking ChatGPT. Like, if you need an answer for something, that will give you the answers that you require.
That's clever. That's very clever.
It's going to put me out of my job, but well, that's fine.
Yeah. Now, the website was created by a guy called Perro Loco. Now, that's an alias, but he is the guy known to have made it. He claims there are so many people out there with cannibalistic fetishes that this was a reason for creating the site. Now, we don't know to what extent the people using the forum were game for it. It could have just been a fantasy, but these were people looking for others who want to be eaten, right? But for Armin, it didn't matter if it was legit. He was just simply getting off on reading these and playing out the fantasy in his head. He was reading posts like this, and these are... I found Cannibal Cafe now is defunct, it doesn't exist, but there is out there a like some one little part of it that's kind of kept alive, almost like a time capsule of
the museum of it.
Yeah, so you can still go on it and read a lot of these posts, and that's where I've got them. There are going to be email addresses in this, which I find fascinating. So if anyone wants to email them and just like ask, are you still a cannibal? let us know how you get on, because I think that'd be hilarious. But anyway, some of the posts are like this. Quote, hello, I'm a Canadian male looking for a female under 30, if possible, to be able to meet and eat. I feel that the female should be given the choice as to how the process is going to go, so if you are an interested applicant, please describe in detail as to how you would like me to prepare you. The selected person will be able to fly here and have their fantasy fulfilled. Feel free to email me directly at cannibal99@canada.com. I look forward to eating you soon.
That was quite persuasive.
It is, isn't it, when you read it like that? Especially if it was a Canadian. You'd be like, oh, yeah, why not?
How would I like to be prepared? That's an interesting question.
I'd like Perry Rub, like Perry Perry.
Yeah, yeah, I want to be done on a barbecue. I want to be done right.
Oh, dear. Now, there are also posts from people wishing to be eaten, like these. Quote, I would love to be eaten by a group of women that could lay me out on their dinner table and eat me alive or cook me up later. Any females interested, email me at trample21@hotmail.com. Or, quote, Scandinavian girl, want to become a meal. 1.71 tall, 61 kilo, long brown hair, unemployed and tired of life. European answers preferred.
It's weird. I don't say I understand the fetish, but like it's more understandable from the people who want to eat someone else. Because I don't see death as a fetish.
Right,
if you've been eaten, you're going to die, like.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But then a lot of these people are like, I don't know if that's... I think it's so... We'll get to it a little bit later on when we meet our victim, but there's like an extreme version of masochism where they get sexual enjoyment out of causing pain on themselves, and the idea of being eaten is like the ultimate pain. So that's like, I think, where it comes from.
Yeah, I don't understand it, but each to their own, I suppose.
Yeah. Now, this stuff properly got Armin excited. In his own time, he would rearrange meat from animals to look similar to that of human limbs. He'd make shapes from marzipan and slash them open, trying to make him look as realistic as possible. I've got, like, if you can imagine him on Bake Off. Or, you know that, like, is it real or is it cake? I love the idea of him being like, slice it open. It was a cake!
Just some human arm.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it was real all along. Oh. I thought it was a cake. Now, he posted a lot of these images on the internet for people to consume, and they lapped it up. He was properly a part of this online community. However, it was still just a fantasy. That was until September 2nd, 1999, when Armin came home from work to discover his mother had died of a heart attack in her bed. Now, as terrible a moment as this must have been for Armin, his mother being a huge part of his life, good or bad, he saw this as a freeing moment. He's no longer constrained by his mother. This large home that he was living in is now his and his alone. There's nobody to keep him in check. So, he decided he was going to find himself a willing victim. Armin began replying to posts on Cannibal Cafe from people looking to be eaten. He replied to posts such as these, saying, quote, if anybody wants to eat an 18-year-old gorgeous male by any means you wish, then just tell me how you would feel whilst devouring my horny flesh into your belly, and I will reply to you so we can discuss real arrangements. Please eat me. Armin replied to this with, quote, "Hi, I'm Frankie from Germany. I will eat you. Please tell me your height and weight. Also send me a pic from you. Where are you from? I hope you can come to me quick. I am a hungry cannibal. Mail me at antrophagus@hotmail.com. Your butcher, Frankie."
I don't get it. I don't get it. I hope that everyone else reading this also doesn't get it. But
yeah, I don't want to know if you get it. I really don't think I want to know if you get it. Normally, I'll be like, oh, come talk to us. I don't know if I want to know if you get it.
I will never kink shame unless it's this situation, in which case, yes, I will.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people that like to be bitten and draw a bit blood if you're a bit of a fake vampire.
Yeah,
but
bit of what is it? Bit of scratch and tickle. You go crazy. But, like, don't fucking consume another human being.
Yeah, try not to. It doesn't work, though, right? This post replying doesn't work. He replies to many, many posts asking to be eaten, but it seems that not many of them are as serious as Armin is, and he's kind of fed up with people being fake on the forum. Like, you're fake cannibals, you don't want to be eaten, all this kind of shit. Now, instead of looking for a victim, he decides that they ought to come to him. So Armin starts to put out posts looking for victims, such as these. Quote, "If you are between 18 and 25 years old and you have a normal build or body, then come to me. I will butchering and eat your fine flesh. Please mail me your age, height, and weight, and if you can, a pic. Frankie." By the way, these are translated from English to German. That's why it's a bit. Now, he actually gets a hit from this ad from a guy called Jörg Boser. Now, this is the first time that Armin not only gets to speak with a potential victim, but meet them in the flesh. They talk fairly regularly and meet up a couple of times, but when Jörg gets cold feet and decides he doesn't want to go through with it, Armin is disappointed, but understands it. It's a big commitment, a really big thing to do. And he lets Jörg go without any trouble. Now, you might think that that's quite strange. Why wouldn't Armin just kill the guy and then get what he wants, right? He's got him in his home. Now would be the perfect time. But strangely enough, Armin isn't a murderer in the sense that he wants to violently hunt and kill someone. He wants a willing victim, and that's part of the fantasy. When Jörg decided he didn't want to do it anymore, that ruined the fantasy for Armin, and he completely lost interest in him. So he's like, right, fuck off, get out, I don't want you. That's the point. He's not a murderer.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, yeah, fair.
Can I just take a minute to be annoyed? Because it gets dumb, right? This story is so bizarre, and you said yourself, like, you're aware of the story, right? So many people have covered this story, yet there are so many different fucking versions of this story, even down to the house that he lived in, right? This massive country holiday home where I said earlier there are 36 rooms, but I've seen other sources that say 40, other sources that say more, less. So we can't even agree on the amount of rooms that this home had. But when it comes to Armin, this next section is where we begin to meet his victim, right? And one source I found explains that Armin's victim replies to this post that Armin put out. Quote, "If you are up to max 30 years old, have a normal body, then you are the right one for me. I want to slaughter you and eat your delicious meat with relish. Please write to antrophagus@hotmail.com stating your age, height, and weight, if possible, with a photo. Your master butcher, Frankie." Now, I found that post on the Cannibal Cafe site. And they didn't reply to this. This is not how it went down. I wanted to believe it, but when I dug deeper, I found, especially in an interview that Armin did himself to some TV crew, when he describes getting into contact with his victim, it's not Armin's post that attracts him. Armin actually replies to the victim's post. Now, that was a long time ago, and Armin's view on the case is going to be skewed for legal reasons, right? He doesn't want to, like, necessarily put himself in a corner too much. But I'm going to go with his version of events from here on. So if you have heard different stories when it comes to the killing, believe me, I've read them too, but I'm just going with what's actually came out of Armin's mouth himself.
That's fair. I'm going to find it really funny when the fucking MI6 turns up at your door because you've been on Cannibal Cafe for the past week.
Bro, I've been saying to Jenna, I was like, my search history of recent has been so bad. Like, when I did the Marquis de Sade and all about the sadism and BDSM shit. And now I'm looking at cannibals, and I was like, oh, God's sake.
Yeah, MI, they've got you on the watch list.
I know. Now, Armin comes across an ad from a guy called Bernd Brandis, a 43-year-old engineer from Berlin. He's a curious guy, mainly in that he's bi-curious, if not fully bisexual. He had severe masochistic desires, i.e. He liked to inflict a severe amount of pain on himself. He's the guy that would go see like some lady in leather who would then kick his nuts, and he'd love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, his deepest fantasy was he wanted to have his penis amputated and feel the ultimate pain. Whatever happened to his body afterwards was free game. He put out an ad on Cannibal Cafe with the title saying either dinner or your dinner. The ad from Armin's memory reads as such, quote, I'm offering you the chance to eat me alive. Who really wants it needs a genuine victim. Now, Armin replied and the two began talking. And I've got some of their conversation here, which is where we're going to be reading this together, James. You're going to be playing the role of Armin, whose handle is Androphagus, and I will be Bernd, who is Cater99. Are you ready?
Would you like me to do a German accent?
You can if you want. I think it'd be quite funny.
That would be completely disrespectful. I would butcher it.
Hello.
Hi, Cater. What do you do professionally that you're up so late at night?
I can't sleep well anymore because of our meeting.
That's a sensible reason. I'm looking forward to our meeting. It'll definitely be really cool.
I want it to be. I hope it will be really cool.
It's only a few days until March 9th.
Still, I would have rather we met you yesterday and felt your teeth.
One can't have everything. There's still some time before you really feel my teeth.
I hardly know what to expect. Have you slaughtered a man before?
Unfortunately, only in my dreams, but in my thoughts I do it every night.
So, I'm the first. You've eaten human flesh before, or haven't?
No, you don't exactly find it in the supermarket, unfortunately.
How do you know if it will taste good to you, or that the blood won't make you sick?
I'm readying myself with my dreams. Once I was so excited I grabbed a needle, drew my own blood so I could drink it.
And your blood, it tasted good to you?
It was quite tasty. Once I was drilling some holes and the drill slipped onto my right hand, and that was a real treat. Blood is the juice of life. It contains everything a person needs for nutrition.
Then I hope you won't wilt, that you can really see it through without a problem.
To bite into your penis will certainly not be easy. Living flesh is somewhat more resistant than fried, but one thing is for certain, our dream will be fulfilled.
But there's not so much in there as in muscle.
Yeah, but the penis is principally a spongy material filled with blood.
For both our sakes, I hope that's true. I hope you've also already thought about what's to be done with the rest. Fulfilling the dream shouldn't become a nightmare for you. No one will know where I've disappeared to.
After you're dead, I'll take you out and expertly carve you up. Except for a pair of knees and some fleshy trash, skin, cartilage, tendons, there won't be much of you left.
There will be a good bit, like the knees. I hope you have a good hiding place for them.
I'll dry out the knees and grind them up soon after.
Okay, they're good as fertilizer. I heard that once. I see you've thought about it. Good. Sounds like I'm the first.
And you won't be the last, hopefully. I've already considered catching a young person from the street, but I would rather kill only those who want to be killed.
That also doesn't sound bad. But yeah, seeing as it's not so totally legal, this is in my eyes better than yanking somebody directly off the street.
Exactly. I'd do it if it were legal.
Thoughts?
Right, yeah, end scene.
Yeah, end scene.
It's just that the conversation's really blunt. Like, if I was chatting to someone on a dating app like that, I would stop talking to them because that's just dead chat.
It's so dead chat, isn't it? But then,
it's
this
very,
is the
like,
thing.
Matter of fact, it's a very German conversation.
It's a very German conversation. It's very blunt, very to the point. Right, there's no beating around the bush for some of it, and then the stuff that they do talk is just really boring, like the small chat. And you're like, oh, I heard that, you know, knees are really good fertilizer, and he's like, yeah, I don't care. Can I just,
well, how's he got that information?
Yeah, I know, it's just Cannibal Cafe, isn't it? People are just saying it all.
Knees are good. I mean, I get it, you can't eat a kneecap, like, there's no fucking meat there, but
yeah. Now,
what's he gonna do, like the skull and all sorts?
Well, we'll get onto that.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
March 9th. March 9th is the date that they have set to do the deed. Bernd is serious too. He tells his partner that he's going on a work trip and he goes through his computer deleting anything relating to his fantasy or Armin. He even books a one-way train ticket to Rottenburg. Armin picks him up from the station and drives into his large, empty home. And this bit I found quite funny. Can you imagine how awkward that meet-up must have been? Obviously, we just read their conversation, how dead that was. But have you ever been like, you know when you're talking to a girl for a while and then you meet up for the first time and there's that initial awkward barrier you've got to get over? Where you're like,
yeah.
You've been talking, but now you're in person. So you're kind of like, hi, how you doing?
Yeah, it's a really, really awkward chat.
Like, and also,
that's
you
know
why
a good
he's
date
here.
If that chat's not awkward. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I'm gonna eat you.
Yeah, like, you're like, hi.
Do you approach that straight away, or do you have some small talk?
Well, this is the thing, right? Once they got back to the house, Armin went to the kitchen to make them a cup of coffee, and it's like, what are you waiting for? Just do it.
Yeah. Wine and dine, I suppose.
But the thing is, Armin's almost like putting things off, in it, right? He's like, I don't really know what to do. Like, he's the guy that's invited to go over. He knows what he wants, but he kind of doesn't want to be too forceful, right? So when he comes back into the living room, Bernd is stood there completely naked, and he said he wanted Armin to admire his dinner. He's just like, what do you think?
It's like when you go to a butcher and you see like the whole pig just fucking spinning on like the rotisserie wheel or whatever.
And Armin liked what he saw. He said, quote, he looked good. He had a sporty figure, as I'd imagined. He was a very nice, lovely man.
That's good. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, it worked out. They then go up to the bedroom that Armin has made his slaughter room. Bernd requested that he be as close to unconscious as he could be with Armin before he eats him alive. They also make a pact that they would film the whole thing and have the footage being played out on a screen for Bernd to watch as it happens.
Well, he wants to get off on it as well, doesn't he?
Exactly. After necking a whole bottle of cough medicine and a handful of tablets, Bernd begins to have doubts and considers pulling out. Now, we know that Armin wants a completely willing victim, so he goes with him on this. He helps him up and they have a chat. Armin agrees, fine, I'll take you back to the station. But on the way, Bernd has another change of heart. He explains that he'd come all this way for a reason. He'd set things in motion so that he could completely disappear. He didn't want to go home and then have to explain to his partner what he was doing. So he decided he was going to go through with it. He would be Armin's dinner.
I mean, I've been in relationships where I didn't want to tell my partner something, but I didn't get eaten to get out of it.
Oh, that's so
it's
funny.
A bit far.
Yeah. Oh no. Now back at the house, Bernd and Armin begin their sadistic fantasy. Taking a sharp knife, Armin... Oh, by the way, sorry. This is where it gets graphic. If you get a bit wheezy, if you've got wheezy about my stuff before, this is where you're going to get wheezy. Back at the house, Bernd and Armin begin their sadistic fantasy. Taking a sharp knife, Armin cuts off drowsy Bernd's flaccid penis. He screams and writhes in agony. The pills that made him drowsy don't do shit when your body is put through that kind of pain. After a few minutes though, perhaps due to adrenaline or a lack of blood, Bernd explains that the pain has started to subside. Armin and Bernd both tried to eat his penis, but they found it was too chewy. Armin left Bernd in the blood-soaked bed and took the amputated penis to the kitchen where he fried it. Then they tried to eat it again, but it wasn't very nice. Imagine going through all that and you go, I don't actually like it.
Yeah, it's awful when you order something on at a restaurant and like everyone else's food looks better than yours and you have massive regret. It's too late to send it back then.
It's like Armin looking down at his own penis being like, I prefer that.
Yeah. Oh, what an idiot.
Now, having lost a lot of blood, Bernd was getting cold. He asked if he could have a hot bath to sit in. He wanted to be sat in a pool of his own blood. Armin placed him in a bath and left him there while he sat in the next room reading a Star Trek novel.
Wait a minute.
What is going on?
That might sound really weird, and it is, but remember, Armin isn't interested in actually killing Bernd. He just wants to eat him. He cut off his penis, and he expects that Bernd will die soon, but he mainly cut off his penis because that's what Bernd wanted to do. Armin just kind of wants him to come over and just fall on the floor and die so he can eat him. Bernd's like, yeah, can you cut off my penis? And he's like, all right, fine, I'll do it for you. So he's cut off the penis. He's waiting for him to die. So he's kind of just sat in the next room whilst that happens. And I've got that the closest thing I can think of is someone wanting a KFC but not wanting to kill the chicken itself for the meat. So he's just sat in the next room waiting for Bernd to die so then he can start butchering the corpse. He doesn't actually want... He kind of wants to be so hands-off with the murder, as far removed from it as possible. He wants to be away from it.
Yeah.
Is this where we get to talk about your meat-eating thing?
I mean, all meat-eating's wrong, Ryan. This is when we lose all of our listeners. Like, just stop it. Like, we're not hunter-gatherers anymore. I had an argument with my brother at the fucking Christmas dinner table once. I'm a vegetarian, for anyone that wants to know. I'm not full vegan. I was for a little bit, but I really like cheese and
it,
like, yeah, chocolate. So that's where my morals get a bit blurry. But, like, I asked my brother, like, why do you still eat meat when there's literally no need to? If he answered because I want to, fair enough, can't argue with that. Like, that's fine, do what you want. But he said because we're hunter-gatherers. Like, no, we're fucking not. You go to Sainsbury's. You literally go to the shop. You are hunting and gathering nothing. It doesn't make sense.
Does it count if you crawl on all fours when you grab your meat from the aisle?
You're going to get quickly removed. But yeah, I mean, I'm too far gone now. Like, if I even, like, the other day, someone was cooking chicken and it made me feel really sick. Like, that's how far I've gone, because it's been, like, years.
Wow.
But I don't know, man. I don't want to preach to people why they should stop eating meat. You know the reasons. You understand why. I think it's deeply fucked that we eat the flesh of something else. Like, what the fuck? We don't need to.
Do you eat eggs?
Yeah, but they haven't been fertilised, so it doesn't really count. That's like someone giving you a fucking blowjob and swallowing the semen. Like, it's similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, is that meat eating? I don't know. I'm sure there's loads of vegans that love doing that, but I'm getting way off track now. But like,
there is a man being murdered right now.
There is. I mean, I've always believed that humans probably have less right to life than fucking other animals, because other animals sort of just go about their daily life like just trying to do their own thing, whereas humans are just the worst species ever. So maybe we should start eating each other. I don't know.
In that case, Armin Mivis is the king of all.
Apparently, we're supposed to taste like pork as well. But
well, Mivis tells us what we taste like.
Pork is such like a... Well, it's not my favourite meat. I think it's quite bland.
I enjoy some pork. I quite like it.
All right, steady.
Hey. But Mivis's hand is forced, or so he says it is. Around 2 hours later, having had these penis chopped off, likely delirious, Bernd got himself out of the bath to find Armin, because, you know, he's too busy reading sci-fi. He collapses in the room. Armin puts him in the bed and then just doesn't really know what to do with him. He expected Bernd to be dead by now, so he grabs the knife used to cut off the penis and he slices Bernd's throat, who dies very quickly after that. Now, Armin could be described as a product killer. There are two types. You've got product and process. He kills in order to get something afterwards, right? He doesn't actually necessarily enjoy the act of killing. Killing is not the thing that he gets enjoyment out of. It's the thing afterwards, i.e. the corpse, that he gets to enjoy. Whereas process killers are people that enjoy the act of killing.
Mm.
Now, he has exactly what he's always wanted. A body waiting to be butchered for his meal. He begins by cutting off the head and leaving it to the side. And this is really common when it comes to cannibalism. The head is usually removed or covered to take away the humanity of it all. With that gone, the body becomes just another carcass. Now, Armin hung the corpse from the ceiling and removed the organs. Once they were removed, he proceeded to cut the corpse in half. Using hot water, Armin went on to clean both halves of the body. Now, some of the meat was minced and turned into meatballs. Other parts were cut into prime fillets and other choice cuts. The whole thing was caught on camera and is about 4 hours long. Now, the footage cannot be found anywhere, and believe me, people have tried to find it. But police have that shit locked away in some underground vault. Now, there are 4 alleged screenshots from the video, but none of them are verified. They are very, very graphic, and they are not that hard to find. I found them.
I imagine if I just type Armin cannibal pictures into Google, I'd do it with them.
Yeah, you'll find a Reddit that's got a link to it, and you'll find a web page that's got them on there, and it's very, very graphic. Now, okay. 3 days later, on March the 12th, 2001, Armin sat down to eat his rare meal on his finest china. He'd prepared a fillet of the meat, accompanied by potatoes, a pepper sauce, and a red wine a la Hannibal Lecter. I think that's such a German thing to do, that he prepared it with potatoes.
It's a proper meal, isn't it? But also, like, I thought he was doing this for sexual gratification, but at no point does it feel like he's getting any of that.
This is the thing. So far, we don't know, really, if he did it for sexual gratification. We know that Berndt did, because he is a masochist. He gets enjoyment out of causing pain to himself. He's the guy like Albert Fish that would, like, you know, he enjoys putting pinpricks in himself kind of thing. He enjoys that. Whereas for Armin, he just literally just wants to eat someone because he thinks it will make them a part of him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Proceed.
Now, in case you're wondering, Armin describes what human tastes like. We all know that we are biologically similar to pigs, and that goes for the flavour too. According to Armin, that first bite was, quote, very strange. It was a feeling I can't really describe. Very strange. It was a feeling I can't really describe. I thought about it for 30 years, dreaming about it. Now I was getting the feeling that I was achieving this perfect inner connection through his flesh. Flesh tastes like pork, but stronger, more substantial. Although, I don't think many people would have noticed the difference had they eaten it. It tasted really good.
Well, it's a thing, isn't it? I reckon if you cook that up anywhere and, like, season it with whatever and put it on a restaurant and call it whatever, pork something, people would eat it and not have a fucking clue.
It's like chicken, isn't it? Chicken's just nothing. Chicken is the seasoning. Yeah.
Or, like, when you're in like a busy city somewhere and they've just got these vendors that just sell street meat and you just don't ask questions what the meat is, you eat it.
Tastes damn good though.
There's a documentary, a really good Vice documentary actually, on Liberia and sort of like the civil war that took place in Liberia, and poverty got so bad there that like bodies piled high and like a lot of the country turned into cannibals.
So,
and would just start eating the bodies.
In doing some research into cannibalism throughout human history, during warfare is when we actually see more cannibalism than ever. It's really common. And apparently during the Second World War, there was a lot of Russians that were performing cannibalism.
Well, yeah, because they were fighting in the cold, weren't they? So
yeah, there's a lot of cannibalism on the Eastern Front in Russia. There was a lot of it. So it's very, very common during warfare. Now, over the course of a year, Armin consumed over 40 pounds of Berndt's body. 40 pounds of flesh.
It's quite economical, though, isn't it? That he's getting a lot of use out of this.
He's getting
like,
a
loads
lot.
Of meals.
Yeah, over the course of a year, he's getting a lot of meat. Now,
yeah, just chop it up, shove it in the freezer.
The rest of it was hidden under a fake bottom of a freezer with regular food like chips and pizzas covering over that. Now, you may be wondering if anyone is looking for Berndt Brandst, and the answer is yes. He has a partner back in Berlin, remember? But the problem was, Berndt was so good at cleaning up after himself, there was almost no trace of where he'd gone. He'd completely vanished as far as the police were concerned. Now, Armin effectively has committed the perfect crime. He's killed someone, eaten them, and gotten away with it. So, what would be his downfall was being greedy and wanting seconds.
He should have done a one and done.
Now, by June of the following year, having eaten a substantial amount of meat, Armin was on the hunt for more. He was posting regular on cannibal forums, supposedly posting pictures of himself in the act of butchering Brand, which is supposedly where we get these four images. Now, he was a celebrity in the cannibal world. He was one of few, if not the only one, who could honestly say that they had lived the fantasy they were all talking about online. But for some reason, it was all a bit too real. In July of 2002, an Austrian medical student going by the name of Reinhold presses Armin for more information. Armin is all too happy to discuss his crimes with anyone who will listen. He believes that everyone on the site shares his fantasy, so he would be safe in talking about it. But over time, Reinhold gathers enough information to believe that this killing may have actually happened, and so he passes it on to German authorities.
Several Austrian man being the downfall of another German. I haven't seen that before.
When did that happen before? Now, several months later, in December 2002, police raid Armin's home in search of evidence. One of the female officers looks in the fridge and the freezer, and she asks Armin, what kind of meat is this? He tells her, this is very normal animal meat. And she replies saying that she's a housewife. She knows that this is not normal meat.
Well, she's not a housewife. She's a member of the police.
I thought this, right? And when I saw this quote from like this officer who's speaking about the crime, I was like, well, she's not a housewife. But then maybe in 2002, this was sort of the thinking. You'd be like, oh, yeah, you work for police, but you're also a housewife. You know,
you go home and cook at the end of the day. That's not being a housewife. That's being a human being.
I don't know. Maybe she took pride in the fact that she is a wife and looks after the house.
Maybe.
I don't know. But I like the idea that she's like, I know all the meats. This is not right.
Yeah, I've had all the exotic meats.
Yeah. Now, remember, this crime took place in 2001, over a year ago. So most of the evidence is hidden very, very well. Armin is arrested and questioned. He denies everything, and while the meat is being tested, he's free to leave. But he does something very unexpected. Armin goes back and confesses his crime. Now, we don't entirely know why he does this, but he pleads guilty to everything and just fully cooperates. There was one guy. Go on.
I think it's because, obviously, once they've tested the meat and stuff, they're going to get him. So he probably thinks if he enters some sort of plea deal. Because to him, he's not a murderer. He doesn't believe he's a murderer. Mm. So if he goes and like tells them his side of the story before they make up their own minds, they might go easier on him.
That's a really good theory, actually. I think it's better than the other theory. So the guy that he was friends with as a kid, his theory was that Armin had finally met a girl and was trying to like get something going with her, and he got a lawyer and said, right, if I admit to this, how quick can I get out? Like, what can we do to get ahead of it? I don't necessarily know much about that because he doesn't really have much more air on that. I prefer yours. It's good. Now, he shows them where the rest of Bernd's body is being kept. They find his skull, his hands, his feet that are all cut away from the body. In fact, they find a complete skeleton, and 36 bags of meat are discovered in the fridge and freezer. Now, this is the part where it all gets legally tricky. I am not a legal expert in any shape or form, let alone in German law. But my couple of hours research has taught me that trying of murder in Germany is not an easy one. There are different kinds of killing, such as we have in the UK, like murder or manslaughter, that kind of vibe. Now, in Germany, there are two types of homicide. There is Totschlag, which I really enjoy saying, which means...
Totschlag,
which means killing. Now, this is defined by the act of killing a person without consideration. And then there is Mord, or murder, which is the killing of a person with consideration.
So that sounds like manslaughter and murder.
It kind of is, but there's like a lot more to it.
Right.
Now, the consideration is the key here. Those that kill without thinking of the consequences are deemed Totschlag. These might be things like accidental death or killing in the heat of the moment, and this can carry a sentence of between 5 to 15 years. And then there's also a subgenre of Totschlag called Totten auf Verlangen, which means killing on demand, and it's essentially a mercy killing and is typically seen in cases where a partner might assist in the suicide of a loved one when suffering from an incurable disease, and this can carry a sentence of up to 5 years. Then there is Mord, or murder. This is defined by killing someone with consideration of your actions. Someone that has planned it and knows what they're going to do afterwards. This carries the sentence of life imprisonment. However, it's not so easy to find someone guilty of murder. You need to prove that one of the three base motives were presented when the act was committed. Now, these three base motives are murderous intent, which is killing for the sole purpose of killing. These apparently are quite rare, and it's typically seen with serial killers because most other killings have another motive behind them. Killing to satisfy sexual desires. This includes killing during the act of rape, killing someone in order to use the body for sexual practices afterwards, or filming the killing to watch later. And then there's killing for greed, meaning you kill someone to get monetary benefit out of it. Now, these are the three base motives of which many a motive can then be based upon. But where does Armin Meiwes sit? He was a bit of a legal enigma, which leads me to the terrible game show idea of Totschlag or Mord. Now, he doesn't...
All courts should be that.
Yeah, Totschlag or Mord. I feel like it's a terrible Mitchell and Webb scare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, he doesn't quite fit the criteria for Mord because of the three base motives. He didn't get any monetary benefit from it. He didn't kill for the sake of killing, because we know he isn't a process killer. He doesn't actually enjoy the act. And we can't prove that he got really any sexual satisfaction from the killing. But he doesn't quite fit the definition of Totschlag either, because he planned to kill and dispose of a body, which shows consideration. His defence argued that he only killed Bernd Brandst because he asked him to, and Bernd wanted to die, which could fall into the category of killing on demand, the mercy killing or assisted suicide. And since cannibalism is not illegal in Germany, he can't be tried for that. So, nobody wanted to see a cannibal be sentenced for a mercy killing and receive a maximum of 5 years. So, what would you do in this situation, James? Is it Totschlag or Mord?
I don't think this man poses a threat to the wider community. He's displayed on multiple occasions that he's more than happy to let people go if it's not what they want.
Yeah.
So I think he fits into the sort of the more mercy killing assisted suicide part of things.
Yeah.
So not Mord.
No.
It's barely Totschlag.
Yeah, well, Armin would agree with you. But on January the 30th, 2004, Armin Meiwes was found guilty of Totschlag, manslaughter. He was sentenced to 8 years and 6 months for his killing, butchering and consuming of Bernd Brandst. That would mean his sentence finished in 2012. So where is he today? Well, still in prison. Because in 2005, Armin asked for a retrial, claiming that his sentence was unfair, as he only assisted Bernd with his wish to die. He claimed that it was a mercy killing, but the Supreme Court saw differently. The fact that Armin had filmed the whole thing and had admitted to having watched it since the killing suggested to the court that there was some sexual motive behind the killing, and that was enough to get a murder conviction. It was Mord all along.
He shouldn't have said anything, the silly fucker.
Yeah, it was the footage that got him.
And just keep your head down, do your sentence and get out.
Yeah, honestly, if he'd just done his time, it probably would have gone away. Now, don't get me wrong, there was a lot of public pressure to retry him because they were like, how fucking dare he get out in 8 minutes? The guy butchered another human and ate him, and you want him to get out in 2012.
It's so... Because when you say it like that, it sounds horrific. And it is. What he's doing is fucked up. Let's not beat around the bush. But... the guy literally, I'm not victim shaming, he literally asked for it.
Yeah. Yeah, he literally did.
And he Armin wouldn't do this to someone who didn't want it. He's expressly said that he doesn't, well, this is his account, so however much is true, I don't know. But like,
yeah.
It seems like he has no intention of killing anyone that doesn't want to be murdered. I'm sure if someone went up to him and was like, you can fucking have my arm if you want, and like, I'll survive afterwards, he'll be like, yeah, fine.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah, I think you're
it's
really
not the,
right.
I don't think it's the death he's interested in, it's the flesh.
Yeah, it's not the killing that he's that bothered by. But yeah, you mentioned earlier whether, you know, does he get a sexual kick out of it? There's no real proof, but the fact that he's watched it a few times afterwards may suggest he has.
Just let the man go. Let him go, Germany.
I like that. Now, Armin was sentenced to life imprisonment in 2006. Now, in Germany, this is a minimum of 15 years, although inmates usually get on parole around the 17, 18-year mark. So, still in prison today, now age 62, Armin is a vegetarian who works in the laundrette.
What a U-turn.
Yeah, I know.
I love that.
Armin's a vegetarian who works in the laundrette at the prison and often attends church. Having now served his minimum sentence for life imprisonment, he is actually eligible for parole. He has been denied this, but is on a prisoner release scheme, which has allowed him to go out on the streets to walk around, and then he goes back to prison. So, expect to see Armin Meiwes, the cannibal of Rottenburg, wandering the streets very soon.
I don't think he poses a threat at all. It's really weird.
You know what's really funny is the guy that he grew up with still lives in that same little town area, still lives in the same house that he grew up in, right? And when he did an interview and he was like, how would you feel if Armin Meiwes came back to sort of live in his old home? And he was like,
yeah,
I mean, I don't really care. He's like, whatever. If he wants to like sort of go back there and renovate the place, yeah, go for it. He said, it won't bother me. He said, but it might be good to tell the kids, oh, the cannibal will get you if you don't behave.
Yeah, it'd be like the... That's actually a really good story.
It is, isn't it?
But it's really weird that you've gone through an hour of explaining how a man went on a forum, found someone, cut them up, ate them, and I'm somehow I'm not on his side, but I have sympathy for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. That's fascinating.
Weird. What that a so weird mind. I don't know how I feel about this, because I want to be like, oh no, he's vile, but I can't, like.
Which is funny, isn't it? Because like I said earlier, it's considered the last taboo. It's the ultimate thing that humans can do that is like the worst thing in the world. Like incest is more fucking appealing than cannibalism in this sense, right? As far as these people are concerned. And yet you're like, yeah, I think he's all right.
They were two consenting adults. And that's got to be a key part. It was adults and it was consensual. So yep. That's them boxes ticked.
Yeah.
He let someone go. Did they interview the first guy and be like, is this true? Did he let you go?
I assume so.
So well, he doesn't right, pose
maybe
a
not. I'm
anyone.
Not sure. They may not have found it. I don't actually know whether they got to interview him. It would be interesting if they did though. Armin is currently writing his memoirs. He wants to write a book.
Oh, that'd be interesting to read. But it also blends into the argument. I mean, it's completely different from this argument, but I feel like as a species, we treat death as really taboo when we shouldn't, because it's just one of them things, isn't it? Whereas, like, we had the case recently, the English guy has just been released from prison because he assisted his wife's suicide.
Mm.
Like, if your loved one turns to you and is in severe pain and is not going to get better and is going to die and says, please, can you let me go on my own terms? Of course you say yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for assisted suicide, like what they do in Switzerland. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
It should be
If someone
legal.
Is sound of mind and has, like, they have to be sound of mind and say, I want this. Or if someone, like, signs a waiver being like, if ever I get Alzheimer's, dementia, something that, like, completely mentally impairs me later in life, please... end my life.
Mm.
Those wishes should be honoured.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that's spot on. There you go.
maybe don't eat them.
Yeah. Try not to do that.
I just don't... Yeah, that's a whole other kettle of fish, isn't it? I'm sure people have... Because everyone gets up in arms about abortion as well, don't they? Like, if someone wants to have an abortion, fuck off. It's not your place to stop them. Just literally fuck off.
Mm. Mm. But fascinating case, isn't it? How, like, where, because cannibalism is not illegal, you know, he could have almost got away with it.
It's not illegal. Like, yeah, it was the whole recording thing that...
Well, to be fair, I think what they may have done is got him on desecration of corpse kind of thing.
Yeah, fair.
They'd have got him on that.
It was a landmark case, though, wasn't it? Like, you can't let this man walk free. Otherwise, everyone will be like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like almost like a legal loophole where you can murder someone if you give consent. And it's like,
yeah,
does that count?
It's like there's those old ancient laws, isn't there? Like, isn't there supposed to be one that there's a certain place in Wales that on a certain hour you can, like, fucking kill a Scotsman with a bow and arrow or something? There's something stupid like that.
Yeah, there's loads
Whether
of old laws
exists,
like that.
I don't know.
That's the thing. You see loads of articles where they're like, oh, these laws are still in effect today. And it's like, yeah, but try doing it, because like the law's still in effect, but it's a case of like it's a living, breathing thing, the law, that changes and evolves and adapts. And just because it was written 600 years ago doesn't mean it's still relevant.
the other day, I was writing an article on sort of modern marriage and like people getting divorced immediately after getting married, blah, blah, blah. If you don't have sex on your wedding night, the marriage can be voided.
Yeah, it's called an annulment.
What the fuck, man? How barbaric is that? Yeah. Because there was a story of like that, you'd had the whole wedding day, which is a big day. You wake up early, you barely eat throughout the day, and then you get hammered. Like by the time it's bedtime, you're cooked. You want to go to bed. Mm. Like, maybe you don't have the energy to fucking do rumpy pumpy, but no one's a fucking saint anymore. The chances are you've had sex before marriage, unless you're religious, so
yeah.
You know what it's like. And this one guy, because his wife was absolutely knackered, she said no, fair enough, well within her right to say no.
Yep.
He fucking was like, okay, I'm voiding the marriage then. What?
I mean, that's not a guy you want to marry anyway, though.
That's so... I just... Because back in, like, 15, 1400, whatever, and previous, people would have someone in the room to ensure that they had consummated the marriage.
Yeah.
Why is that still a thing? Why is sex still this massive thing? It would make sense to me if, like, sex before marriage wasn't a thing, but it is. These people have more than likely fucked before. Why does it matter anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it, that it's still a thing? But
that's a modern law.
You can do it up to, like, a week, though, can't you? Up to a week after the marriage, you can get it annulled. Didn't Britney Spears do that famously?
Oh, probably. She's done a lot of things.
She's weird.
There was this video as well years ago, I remember. There's an old law that you're still legally allowed to walk a flock of geese through central London and no one can stop it. And there was a video of a man just doing it, and everyone was really angry, and he was like, I can do this, it's fine.
I like that.
And it was fine.
I do like those people that sort of, they know their law, and they know what they can and can't do, and they flaunt it, and they're dickheads about it. Like, there's a guy who flies a drone, and he knows the law. He knows what he can and can't do with flying the drone. And then the police will come over and be like, can't fly that there. And he's like, yes, I can. And then just is an absolute knobhead for the next 20 minutes before the police figure out, all right, he actually is allowed to do it. You're like, oh, stop being a twat.
There was also a video of a guy who was, he had ancient laws, and he went around like breaking the laws. I can't remember all of them, but there was one that you're not allowed to air your dirty laundry outside of Buckingham Palace or something.
That's
and he had like this towel and was like drying a towel, and the police were like, what are you doing? Like, this is weird. And he was like, this is a law, you're going to arrest me. Like, no, well, why would we arrest you for that? When in the law book, he should be arrested for doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Well, it's like the guy who, you know, threw the egg at Charles should be beheaded or whatever, isn't it?
Yeah, there was a whole thing years. I remember when I was a kid, if you burn a note with money, you had been done for treason because you're burning the image of the Queen at that point.
Yeah, it used to be like... I swear, that they had like thought police as well. Like back in Henry VIII's time, you couldn't even imagine the King dead. You couldn't say, oh, imagine if the King died. Like that would get you killed. Imagine that.
Yeah.
You literally spent the last 20 years saying about the Queen going, she's going to go any minute.
Off the top of my head, treason is still the only thing you can be killed for in this country, I believe.
I don't think that stands anymore.
But even then, you had that guy who openly admitted that he tried to assassinate the Queen and he's just in prison.
Yeah. Because I don't think it's a thing anymore. We don't have capital punishment at all.
Which is, I agree with.
Yeah. Because, you know, they're like anyone else. Anyway, we've massively gone off topic there.
It's a whole legal argument about what death is acceptable. I'm sure loads of listeners are, maybe you agree with us, maybe you're disagreeing, and just let us know what you think about any of these things.
Yeah, assisted genuinely
suicide,
fascinating.
Cannibalism, abortion, any of it. Just fucking let us know. It's a really interesting conversation.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, join us on the conversation. Let us know what you think. Whether you think for Armin it was Totschlag or Maud.
Or none of the above.
But yeah, fantastic. All right, what a fascinating case. Right. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Listen, join us on Patreon. Share with us. What am I talking about? Make our dreams come true. Help us create that amazing content that we've got in our head that we just need to get out there. We've got a few things in mind. Like, we want to head off to like Warwick Castle and do a few things there. We've got some other places we want to go to. The video that we made came from the coffers from like all the donations. I would also like to stress, we mentioned in the video that obviously the podcast is always going to be free. Of course it is. The video content obviously will go on Patreon, but we will also always make sure that the Ko-fi donation page is still up and running. You don't have to just sort of subscribe to Patreon. You can always, if you want to, if you feel we deserve it, donate to us a one-time donation, that'd be it. that's always going to be open for you. That's not going away. So if that's a fear, don't worry about it. Right.
I really want to make merch now of Totschlag or Mord.
I really want a sound effect for it as well. Like Totschlag or Mord.
That's really funny. We should look into that. As you're watching the Jack the Ripper documentary on the Patreon, you can play Totschlag or Mord. It'll be a very short game because the answer's Mord. But
every time.
But all just right. Play along. Play along at home.
Well, let's see if we can get Totschlag or Mord some little sound effects. I want that on a t-shirt. We're having it on a t-shirt. I'm doing it now.
Yeah, do it. Totschlag or Mord. We'll go to Germany and just wear it around and everyone will be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you very much for listening and we'll see you on the next one.
Tassie, bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.